Good evening, good evening. Are we ready for round two tonight? I love it when the Lord moves like he did this morning, and I know that he's wanting to tonight, and let's just go into this service tonight expecting him to do something in our hearts and in our lives, and I believe he'll do it. So let's pray. Father God, I thank you for another Sunday to come together and praise your name, Lord. Lord God, I ask that you move in this service tonight, and Lord, I ask that you change us, Lord. Don't let us walk out of this room the same, Lord. Let us be changed by your Holy Spirit, and let us learn more about your word and about our Lord and Savior, Lord. And Father, I ask that you move through the camera and continue to guide people and to draw people, Lord. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
I want to know more about my Lord. Then when you saw me, I was on my way. Now are you on your way to heaven? Praise the Lord. Better late than never. Good to have y'all. I'll give you a little humor tonight before we get started. This is just too good. I can't pass up this opportunity. Lisa, you sent this to us, didn't you? Let me read this to you. A senior's version of Facebook. For those of my generation who do not and cannot comprehend why Facebook exists, I'm trying to make friends outside of Facebook while applying the same principles. Therefore, every day I walk down the street and tell passerbyers what I've eaten, how I feel at the moment, and what I've done the night before, what I will do later, and with whom. I give them the pictures of my family, my dog, of me gardening, taking things apart in the garage, watering the lawn, and standing in front of landmarks, driving around town, having lunch, and doing what anybody and everybody does every day. I also listen to their conversations and give them a thumbs up and tell them I like them. And it works just like Facebook. I already have 4 people following me, 2 police officers, a private investigator, and a psychiatrist. Oh, I couldn't pass that one up. We welcome people that are watching through Facebook. We're not kicking Facebook. We're on some of us are on there. We post stuff, scriptures, pictures at times. It's a good way to connect with people. I've got family members who live in distant states I never see, never talk to. You know, it's a good way to connect with people. Old friends, I saw one this morning from Middle Tennessee, was watching our service that I hadn't seen in years. So, you know, I'm all for that. But that's not really the norm. It's supposed to be the way he was telling it. You know, you go out, you talk to people. You know, this is our photos now, right? No, nobody carry Polaroids. Maybe a few people, old-fashioned folks, still do. And there's nothing wrong with that stuff. But, you know, we don't want the internet to take the place of the in-person stuff. That's what we're saying. So welcome to the people that are watching tonight through the internet, website, Facebook, YouTube, however you're watching tonight. Hope that you'll be blessed. But that was just too good. Thank you, Lisa. Some good humor for the day. Amen. We're going to take up the offering tonight. And if you, the Lord has blessed you, bless his work tonight. If you're watching tonight, if you've never given anything to the work of God, let me encourage you, step out in faith and give. Maybe it's your first time. You've never done it. And you say, I don't know about that preacher. Now you're getting home when you talk about my money. Well, when you let go of your money, you let go of that checkbook, let go of your wallet, and you start giving to the work of God, you'll see that God is a blessing God. I'll never forget this. It was probably 18, 20 years ago when we were going to a little Church of God church in Philadelphia, Tennessee, when I was just starting to preach a little more, whatever, and the pastor and his wife, they were struggling financially. Nobody really knew anything. And I remember after the service, we were getting ready to leave, and the pastor and his wife were walking out, and we stopped the pastor. Melissa said, I think the Lord has laid on my heart to give them some money, to give them something. And called him over to the car, and she gave him a $50 bill, and he was like, you know, thank you. You don't know how much of a blessing this is. This really, we need this more than you know. And my wife went to work the next day. She was waitressing at a little restaurant. And one of the customers, when he had left her table that day, left her a $100 tip. Never forget it. Now, who does that? Huh. How many even really tip these days? Y'all do tip at restaurants, do you? You know, people make their livings like that, so you don't leave them pennies. Give them a little something. But I thought, you know, now that she gave that to that man, and God turned around and gave her double. I'm not saying he's going to do that every single time, but he proved that he'd take care of her and of us, and he always has. So you give to the work of God, and I'll guarantee you, God will take care of you. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. We ask you to have your way tonight. We ask you to continue to move through our services, Lord. We ask you to have your way through the internet, through the camera, Lord, those on the other side tonight. Lord, I pray that there are people tonight that are watching who will be filled with your spirit, who will hear your word in this sanctuary and through that camera, God. For those who have never heard about what I'm going to preach tonight, God, take it to their heart and show them it is real. Lord, have your way again. Bless the givers tonight and multiply it back to them in many ways over, in Jesus' name.
Is it led the way? Oh, I made whatever I face, I trust in your grace to carry me through. And my feet get so weary, at times I can't stand, but you hold me up when I've done all I can. And like so many times, the tears there was no way that I could
you glad tonight he came looking for you when you weren't looking for him? Because the truth is, we weren't. But he made a way. I love that line. I'm safe from all harm. He walked through the storm. Walked right through the devil's kingdom. Walked through right through the adversaries. Plot to kill us. And came to us. Amen. We gave our lives to him. Turned us around. Now the devil's lost us. Oh, Satan picked out our grave, but he don't have a grave with my name on it anymore. How about you? He don't have a grave with your name on it anymore. Amen. Praise the Lord. Tonight, we'll go to the book of Acts chapter 19. As I mentioned this morning, I've been thinking about this. I've had this on my mind recently and seeking the Lord about what to minister tonight. So we're just going to go with what I feel the Lord wants tonight from Acts chapter 19. We're reading at verse 1. The Bible says, and it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, he came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Spirit. And he said unto them, unto what were you baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they had heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, and when Paul had laid his hands, there it is again, laid his hands upon them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied, and all the men were about 12. Let's pray. Lord, we ask you tonight that you would help us with your word, that you would open it to us. That you would show us things, Lord, that we need to learn, maybe things we've never seen. Give us revelation, Lord. And I pray, God, tonight that if there are people here, people watching, that are in the same position some of these people were in, they had not heard. They've been saved, they've given their life to you, but they have not heard about the second subsequent work of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Or maybe they have heard, but they've been struggling to receive. I pray tonight, God, that their prayer would be answered, that they would receive, that they would be filled, and that they would know that they have received that second work of grace in their heart and in their life. I ask you to have your way tonight, move through the camera, touch people on the other side. You are not limited, Lord. You can feel people through the airwaves. Driving down the road, sitting behind a computer, on the phone, anywhere in a hotel room, Lord, you are not limited. God, go where they are. Even if they're lost without you, Lord, you can still work a miracle in their heart and life. You can save them and fill them with the Holy Spirit at the same time because you are God. And Lord, we thank you tonight. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. I want to start off by saying, there's been this movement going on in some of the message of the cross circles, and some of you know a little bit about it. You've heard me maybe mention some things about it, you know, from time to time, because I was at one time involved with some of these people who have taken this in the wrong direction. They're making some foolish statements in the direction they're going in with the message of the cross, and they're just going way overboard, and they're turning this into legalism. They're turning this into a formula. They claim that if you don't, you know, as a minister, if you claim to know the message of the cross, then every time you are up behind this pulpit, you should always, without exception, be preaching the cross and talking about sanctification. That's not right. Because the Holy Spirit is the one who leads us. The Holy Spirit is the one who directs us in what he wants us to preach. And, you know, we got involved in this. I got a little involved in it until God opened my eyes and pulled me out of it and corrected me and showed me that the direction that they were going in, it was wrong. This was about 8 years ago or more. And recently, in the last year, it's gotten even worse. There are people who have been deceived and pulled out of Brother Swaggart's church by some of these people who believe like this. And so the Swaggarts are being attacked. They're being talked about. They're being labeled now as heretics by some of them. They're claiming that they don't preach the cross anymore. I think, how stupid can you be to turn on the television, the SBN, and listen to what they preach and teach? How ignorant can you be? But it's not that. There's other motives behind what they're doing. Satan, some of these people are jealous, and they don't have what Brother Swaggart has, and they never will have. It'll never happen. But we were involved in it, and as I said, the Lord corrected me, and he pulled me out of it, because I was kind of being pulled into this, and, you know, and thinking that, you know, every single time, you know, it's got to be centered around, and yes, the cross is the foundation of the gospel. It has to be our foundation. It has to be what we put our faith in. But as I just, as a matter of fact, I wrote this on Facebook this morning. It came to me that we just finished the teaching in the book of Colossians and getting from chapter 3 to chapter 4, after Paul got finished bringing the correction and drawing the believers to come back to the truth, get their eyes on Jesus, he then gave them instructions about other things that they need to be doing. He didn't mention the cross one time in what he told them. And I thought, what do they do? Because some of these people, here's how far they go. They go so far as to say that the cross is in every verse of the Bible. It's not. No, it's not. Just as you have word of faith preachers who proclaim that they can show you from many or most of the books of the Bible that the Bible is all about money and prosperity. And that's not right. And so these people, this group, this cult, this clique have gotten worse. And so I've kind of paid attention here and there to see, you know, some of the directions that they're going in. And there's a few things that I've seen that, and I see now that, you know, they're getting worse. But, you know, there's one, she's a woman from a little town around here, and she's the leader from this area who's having her Friday night bashing session. And it's always the focus is on Jimmy Swaggart Ministries. And who's wrong? And who needs to repent? I'm thinking, are you God? You sure acting like it. But yet, and she teaches that tithing and offerings is not biblical. That you won't find this in the New Testament. But yet she's linked to preachers that I know who have small churches. They don't believe that. But you see, when they all have one thing in common to tear down somebody they all don't like, they come together. And so many things that they're saying. So I was searching through something the other night, and I was reading, so I know what it was. I went to catch up on the Friday night bashing session. I wanted to see what the comments were, who was saying what. I kind of want to chime in myself, but I know I'll get in trouble if I do, so I just back up and I don't say anything. But I want to see what people are saying about this. And there was one person on there that made a comment, and somebody posted a comment and said, if you want to know the truth about what we're saying, go watch this video of this man here. He was a part of Jimmy Swaggart Ministries for many years. Go to this video and fast forward it up to this timeline, and you listen to what he's got to say. And he proceeded. I'm going to tell you a little bit of the story there, Ethan. I'm going to tell you a little bit of it. He proceeded to talk about how that He knew, he saw, he said, JSM has been going astray for a long time because he was involved in the ministry there for years. And he saw it and he tried to tell people, he tried to correct people, he tried this or whatever. And so he said, you know, he said, I was working for the ministry. He said, I worked for them for a long time. He said, I was working for the ministry and I was called into the office by Brother Donnie. That's who he said it was. And he said, I was working for the ministry, but I went out and started my own church. And I invited some people from Family Worship Center to come to my church. Mistake number one. That's a no-no. That is a no-no. And so he said he had a meeting with Brother Donnie. And I'm not going to go into everything he said, but Donnie heard him out. And he proceeded to tell Donnie, you don't preach the cross anymore. I mean, come on, church. You don't preach the truth. You ain't preaching the gospel. Because every time you get up, you're not saying cross. You're not preaching on sanctification. You're not saying it like this or you're not preaching that. Who do you think you are? Then I listened to another clip of him. I didn't catch all of it. He supposedly has a little church, but there's nobody there. As usual, when this happens. And I'll tell you something else. There's no anointing. He has nothing to say. There's nothing on his life to draw anybody to what he's doing. And I got enough Holy Ghost sense to see it. And then he proceeded to talk about Paul. He said, Paul did not teach on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now listen to this. He made this statement that Paul did not ever teach on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The only baptism that Paul taught on was the baptism into Christ, which happens when you come to him and you put your faith in the cross. Now, think about that. The scripture that I just read to you, we're going to go through. Who do you think inspired this story that Paul was involved in? Was it man or God? Is it God's word? Or is it of a man? And so you see, this stuff is getting worse and worse. Here is the effort of Satan to get people away from other areas of the Bible and to draw them in only to their way of thinking so you can be brainwashed to believe exactly like they believe, because that's how cults work. And that's exactly what it's turned into. And it's gotten worse and worse and worse. So let's take the story tonight that Paul was involved in. It says, and I'm going to try to make this as short as I can, but I don't know how long that'll be. Let the Holy Spirit have his way. It don't take long for God to do what God wants to do. But there's people, I know there's some people here and probably people watching that are in this situation. They haven't heard. And if you listen to people like them, you'll never hear. You'll never hear about the other things that are in the Word that you need to hear. So it said that, it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus and he found certain disciples, and the scripture indicates that these were disciples of John the Baptist. These were men who had heard John the Baptist preaching the baptism of repentance and repented of their sins, gave their life to Jesus, and were baptized in water. That was the baptism of John. And he said unto them, the Holy Spirit must have gave him some insight. I mean, the Lord must have shown him that these people, these individuals, that they had not been filled with the Spirit. You ever been around people, Christians, that you know have not been filled with the Spirit? They're pretty easy to pick out at times. And he saw it. The Holy Spirit revealed to him. But you see, their hearts were open. Their hearts were open to the truth. And that's the kind of people that God can move in. I said it this morning. Be careful about saying that God can't, God won't, and God don't do this. God can do whatever God wants to do. And he said, have you received the Holy Spirit? Listen, since you believed. That's proof that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is separate from salvation. The since you believe part, since you have accepted Jesus Christ into your heart and life, have you received the Holy Spirit? Now, a lot of people, and you know, some of our non-Spirit-filled people will say, well, yeah, I was filled with the Spirit when I got saved. That's kind of true, but not really. You were regenerated. The Holy Spirit came into your heart and life. You were saved. You were changed. But that's not the baptism of the Holy Spirit. If you go through the book of Acts, and these people, some of the ones I'm talking about, they're going to have to throw this out. Because there's so much in here that can be learned about the power of the Holy Spirit, about how God does things, the miracles that God does. And if you preach on miracles today, they say, well, you're a heretic. Well, we don't need to talk about that. We don't need to preach about miracles. Well, I preached it this morning. Jesus is a miracle worker. He still wants to heal people. He still wants to deliver people. He still wants to set the drug addict free. He still wants to have his way in this earth today. So how can we limit God and say, well, no, God will only do this or this or this, and he's only going to do it through our group, our thinking. No, every time people start doing stuff like that, God will prove that he can go outside of your group, outside of your box, outside of your clique. He'll prove it. Have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? Now, this brings me to something that I'm going to go to real quick just to show you about Paul himself, because Paul himself was saved in Acts chapter 9. Now, how did Paul know about what he was asking them? I believe when you go back to Acts chapter 9, this is how Paul knew, because he himself had experienced the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Even though it doesn't say he spake with tongues, there's every indication that he was filled with the Spirit a few days after he got saved. Because the Bible said that the Lord sent a man named Ananias to him. Remember? The Lord spoke to Ananias. He said, hey, Ananias, go into Damascus. Go into a street called Straight. And I want you to minister. I want you to pray for one Saul of Tarsus, whom I have saved and done great things in his life. And Ananias says, hold on a minute, Lord. You mean you talking about that man who was a persecutor? You're telling me that that man who's had people in prison, put to death, half of the Jews are scared of him, the population don't want to be around him because all he wants to do is persecute and get rid of those Jesus believers, and you're asking me to go to him and pray for him? And the Lord said, you go. He's a chosen vessel of mine. He ain't what he used to be, because he's met me and I'm about to use him in a mighty way. And Ananias went, and it said Ananias went his way, and he entered into the house where he was, and said, here, look at this here, and putting his hands on them. Here's some more hands laying on. You know, they laid hands on people quite a bit back in those days. Why don't the church still practice it? And putting his hands on him, he said, Brother Saul, not atheist Saul, Brother Saul, because God showed him he's now a new creation in Jesus Christ. He's a different man. Now he's your brother. He said, the Lord, even Jesus, who appeared unto you in the way as you came, has sent me that you might receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. There it is. He'd already been saved. So if he received the Holy Spirit at salvation, why is Ananias saying you're going to receive the Holy Spirit? So this is where I believe, I would say most of you here believe the same thing, that this is the point in time where Paul himself was filled with the Holy Spirit, even though the scripture doesn't say he spake with tongues. But we know he did. Because in 1 Corinthians, was it 14, 12, or whatever in there where he's teaching on the gifts of the Spirit, he said, I thank my God that I speak with tongues more than you all. What do you mean Paul didn't talk about the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Because the baptism of the Holy Ghost is a second work of grace, and what comes with it is speaking with other tongues. So how can you say he did not teach on it? This is what happens when you leave the Word of God. This is what happens when you just give your brain and your heart to people and listen to anything and everything they say and you don't check it out. He said, so back to Acts chapter 19, they said, we have not heard whether there be any Holy Spirit. And he said unto them, unto what were you baptized then? They said, unto John's baptism. Remember, he found certain disciples of John. And the only thing they knew at the time was that they had heard John the Baptist preaching the baptism of repentance. And he was pointing the people to the one who was to come before him, to Jesus Christ. So they were repenting. The Bible said they were at the Jordan. They were confessing their sins. And they were being baptized. So these are some of those that were a part of that. But yet they had not been filled with the Spirit. Why? Because Jesus had not yet died on the cross. Jesus had not yet went to the cross. Because remember what John said in Matthew 3:11? He said, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but there's coming one mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to latch or to loose, or whichever term you want to use, who shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. There's your little prophecy of what he's going to do for you. And John hadn't even experienced it. Even though the Bible says he was filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb. But it wasn't the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It was the fullness of the Spirit upon his heart and upon his life for the ministry that God had called him to. But after the cross, you see, everything changed. They said under John's baptism. And then Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. He's basically telling them what they've already experienced. This was John's message. The baptism of repentance, the water baptism, confessing Jesus as their Savior. That was John's baptism. That was the extent of it. But there is another part of it that is even greater. Because there's really three baptisms. The baptism in the water, the baptism into Jesus Christ, and the baptism into the Holy Ghost. And every time you see the word baptize in the Bible, it's not always talking about water. You have to be able to discern and look at the context to figure out which one it is. The one I just spoke of that John quoted, that was the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Speaking of Jesus, he'll baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire, not water, with the Holy Ghost. So he tells them, he's trying to explain to them about this baptism. Now, verse 5 can be a little bit confusing if you don't quite understand. And I think there's kind of a couple of ways we can read this. To be honest with you, it don't really matter because when it's all said and done, the same point is going to be made. Listen, when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, when you look at that, you think, well, hold on a minute. I thought they'd already been baptized by John. So is it saying that they've been rebaptized? Or is it, my theory is this, that when you go back to verse 3, there when Paul begins to explain to them about John's baptism, he's speaking about John's baptism. And when he says they heard this, when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. I personally feel that it's referring back to when they heard John the Baptist preaching the baptism of repentance, pointing people to Jesus, and they were baptized in water. But listen, for the sake of argument, it don't matter. Because I've seen many people get baptized more than once. And there's nothing wrong with it. Look, there's some people that have been baptized and they felt that they were baptized the wrong way. And they said, I want to do it again and I want to make sure I do it unto the Lord and I want it to be done right. There's nothing wrong with that, but you do not have to get baptized 10 times. Water baptism, you don't have to. It's an outward expression of what Jesus has already done in the heart and in the life. So it says, when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. In verse 6 says, and when Paul laid his hands on, he says, come here, brothers. Gather around. Because God is about to do something for you. Come here. Let me put into practice. Let us use the laying on of the hands as a demonstration that God wants to lay his hands on you. Now hold on a minute. In Acts chapter 2, who laid hands on them? Nobody. The Holy Ghost swept into the room, filled all the house where they were sitting. This was the initial outpouring. And he told them, Jesus said, you go and you tarry in Jerusalem and you wait until you be endued with power from on high. Don't you go anywhere. I'm telling you, I'm going to give you something that you're going to need to help you with your ministry. I'm going to give you some power because you're going to need it when you face persecution. I'm going to give you some up in your thought because you're going to need it when the devil attacks you. He told them to go wait, go tarry. And they did. And I don't know how true this is or not. It's believed that there may have been over 500 people who initially went. But the scripture says, narrows it down to only 120. You have to wonder, did some get discouraged? Did some get tired of waiting? Did some say, it ain't going to happen? And they look at the other one and say, there ain't nothing happening around here. And say, you got, as I said before, your unbelief can rub off on those around you and cause them to miss a move of God and cause them to walk out just at the time when God is about to do something great and miss their miracle. The Lord has brought this back to me all week thinking about this. He continues, has all week has brought back to me the night that I got filled with the Spirit in that church. And how that me and my wife had been seeking probably for over a year. And we had not been filled. And we were so thirsty. We were so hungry for it. We knew it was real. We were reading about it. I mean, people had laid hands on us. Nothing, never received it. And we never gave up and we never stopped. And the pastor that morning, this is what God brought back to me. That pastor, after the Sunday morning service, said tonight, he said, for those of you that haven't been filled with the Holy Spirit tonight, I'm going to be preaching from Acts chapter 2. And I'm going to be preaching on the subject of tarrying in the upper room. And I said, Lord, when we left church that day, I said, Lord, please, tonight, let it be my night. Oh, Lord. I said, matter of fact, I remember telling the Lord, I said, Lord, because I heard him mention the word tarrying, that means to wait. But the truth is, we don't have to wait. Now, this has already been done. We just need to learn how to receive. But I had made up my mind that night, Lord, I'm hungry for this. I want this. And I'm not leaving this church tonight until I get what I've been wanting. Lord, I want the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I'm tired of everybody laying hands on me. I'm tired of walking out not filled. Lord, I want it. I know that it's real. And that night, sure enough, the altar call was given. We went and we tarried. People were around us. People were praying. People were laying hands on us. Things were going on around us. I had my hand stretched out. Oh, God, give it to me, give it to me. Oh, God, give it to me. Like, you know, some of y'all, oh, God, give it to me. Not knowing, I didn't have to beg and plead for anything. It was already done. I just needed to learn how to receive and give up and surrender. And I think some of the hindrances around us was some of the people who had the wrong understanding of how to be filled. Because you don't slap it into people. You don't beat it into people. You don't knock them on the head to get it. You don't push them in the stomach. The Holy Ghost is a gentleman. And he's like a dove. And he knows how to touch you and fill you. And he don't need my help or your help. And I remember I was just about to give up. Again, in the front of that altar, and all of a sudden, I just kind of went limp, Lord, I just give up. I don't know what else to do. And all of a sudden, I'm telling you, all of a sudden, here it came. Here he came. And I've told the story, you've heard it, some of you may have experienced it the same way, everybody is not the same. But it came, the Holy Ghost, from the top of my head all the way down my body. And my hands were thrown up in the air. And I tell you, out of my mouth came words and languages that I have never spoken in my life. And I began to speak in other tongues. And I felt, Sister Karen, a power surge through my body. Man, I was jumping up and down and stomping on the floor and saying, praise God, I got it. Woo! I was twirling. And I mean, I'm telling you, I could feel it. And I said, oh, I got it. I got it. I got it. Well, what's the big deal about that? I know how some people think. Listen, I'm going to tell you what the big deal is about that. Without that, Thomas and Melissa Clymer might not be standing here today pastoring this church. Because I'm going to tell you what the big deal is about that, because the devil is going to attack you. And you better have some power. You better know what you got. In Acts chapter 4, I was just reading it before church. Acts 4:31, the Bible said that a multitude of the believers, they came together. They were under heavy persecution. They didn't know what to do. And the Bible said that the Holy Ghost showed up and shook that place. and filled up, refilled. I think it means that he refilled. He encouraged all of those in attendance that were under this persecution. See, you're going to need something greater than you when persecution comes. You're going to need a power greater than you when the government is threatening to wipe your nation out. You're going to need a greater power. We need this power. And that's what this is for. It's power for your service. My wife got filled that night. I wasn't paying attention to her. I was too busy glowing in my own. But she got hers and I got mine. And it was never the same. And I thought later on, why did it take so long? I don't know. I don't know. But I'm sure glad I got it. And let me tell you this, I'm glad I still got it. Because that's something you don't want to lose. You got to have this power for the work that God has called you to, because you're going to face opposition. I believe this is why Jesus gave it to them. He knew they're going to face hell itself, demons, devils, religious leaders, opposition, government, oppression, famine. And he knew that they were going to need a power greater than them. That's what this is about. So how can people say, I don't need that. I don't believe in that. The very thing that can revolutionize your life and your ministry, you say you don't want it, you don't believe in it. No, here's what they have a hard time with. It's the tongues part. The funny language they say. Which God says is a language that's used to speak to him and not unto men. He laid his hands on them, and what happened? The Holy Spirit came on them, listen, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. Oh, just got a little step up. Just gained a little more knowledge of who God is and what God can really do. We don't need to limit God. We don't need to confine. We don't need to limit God with just, I'm saved. Praise God you're saved, because you got to be to get to heaven. But what are you going to do between now and the time you get to heaven? You're going to need some power. You're going to need some help. And it said all the men were about 12. So when you go back to Acts chapter 2, we see the initial outpouring. They all were there waiting. It said the Spirit of God came as a rushing mighty wind. I'm giving y'all a history lesson tonight, and I ain't even reading anything new about Azusa Street. Here's your history lesson, right? I'm not saying that's wrong. That's good. There's nothing wrong with that stuff. But you know what? This is all you need to teach people about what God can do. Are you hearing me? You want history? Right here it is. Read the book of Acts. Because I'm going to tell you, the devil's kingdom was in trouble from the day of Pentecost forward. His kingdom was in trouble because these men and women were on fire for the Lord. They were empowered by the Spirit. The power of God was using them. People were getting saved. People were getting healed. People were being used in the gifts of the Spirit in the early church. We need that in our churches. But you had to be Spirit-filled. You need to be filled with the Spirit yourself so you can be learn to be sensitive to the Spirit too. There's a reason why the Bible says they're the gifts of the Spirit, not the gift of a man. The gifts of the Spirit, because the Holy Spirit gives the gifts. And they were all filled. And remember, you remember the story. Look, I'm just about done. This is going to be short tonight, but this is going to be good. Because we're going to do what Paul did. And we ain't going to have to stay here all night and preach about it. I've already told you enough that if you're hungry and you're thirsty tonight, all you got to do is come up here tonight with an open heart and say, all right, I've heard everything I need to know. That's for me. And I'm ready to get filled. That's all you got to have.
Are you hearing me tonight? That's all you got. You don't have to have a long history lesson. You just need the Word of God. You've heard enough to know this is what, look, there's many more instances. Go through the book of Acts where they were filled with the Holy, and Cornelius' house. You know that old Italian. God loves them Italians, don't he, Miss Grace and Lisa? Them Italians that God loved. Cornelius and his whole household. So God sent Peter to his house to preach the gospel to them so they could get saved. But guess what? They got more than salvation. While Peter was speaking the word of God, the Holy Ghost fell on everybody in the house, and they just didn't get saved. They were speaking with other tongues and prophesying. It can happen here if you want it. Their hearts were open. They were hungry. They wanted more. And they got more than they bargained for. Whoo, boy, I like that. Get it all at one time. Boy, I'll never forget that story about my mama's friend, Donna, who was her worst enemy. They were picketing on their job at Bridgestone years and years ago. And one of them, I don't remember which one it was, one of them crossed the picket line, and the other one didn't like it, and they got into a fist fight. Both of them cussed like sailors, mean as a devil, and fighting one another and acting silly, and Mama got saved, and Mama started witnessing to Donna. Mama started inviting Donna to go to church, and she had a hard time getting her there. And she knew it was going to be a hard thing to do. But let me tell you, when God gets involved in something, he can make it easy. And she told her one night, she'd already told my mama, I'm going to go to church with you. And every time mama go to get her, well, I don't have nothing to wear. She'd make an excuse until the last time mama said, you just get you some clothes on and don't you worry about what you look like. I'm coming to your house tonight. You told me you was going to go to church with me. Now we're going to church tonight. They went to a little tent revival somewhere and they said the preacher was preaching and said, don't even remember what he was preaching toward the end of the service. Donna got under conviction when the preacher started dealing with people's souls. She got up to walk to the front of the tent, and she didn't even make it to the front. She was knocked to the ground by the power of God. Listen, she got up speaking in other tongues. Saved and filled with the Holy Ghost right there. And the Lord told my mama, said, you're going to have to interpret for her for the next few days or week or whatever it was. And she thought, mama said, what? What do you mean interpret for her? For her? And I've heard other people tell similar stories like this. They worked together. They drove forklifts together. And that woman was so full of the Holy Spirit, she couldn't speak in English for days. And she was on the job, and my mama said one of the supervisors walked up to her one day and said, Donna, I need you to do this or this or this. And Donna opened her mouth and started speaking in tongues. And he looked at my mama and said, what in the world is wrong with her? And mama had to explain to him what happened to her. And my mama always said, I believe with all my heart God did that because her mouth was so filthy. She had the filthiest mouth of anybody I'd ever heard. But boy, when the Lord gets a hold of your heart, he'll clean your mouth up. And that woman went on to be used of God. I seen God use that woman in gifts of the Spirit. She prophesied things. I heard that woman speak things at times. Matter of fact, she did in our front yard one night when we would have a meeting out there when I was seeking God about what he was calling me to do and asking him for confirmation, and the Holy Ghost moved on her in the middle of a prayer circle, and she pointed her finger at me and said, yeah, the Lord said to tell you he has called you to preach and you're going to preach the gospel. Roger was there, and the Holy Ghost moved in that prayer circle, and we started having a Holy Ghost fit in mama's front yard. You see, God wants to use people. I believe that she was used like that because she was filled with the Spirit. She was sensitive to the Spirit. And that's all you got to be. Sensitive. Miss Grace, would you come? Now listen, stand to your feet. If you haven't been filled with the Holy Spirit, here it is. You've heard the word. Okay? You're a believer. You've already been saved. There's no doubt about that. But you haven't received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which comes with the evidence of speaking with other tongues. If that's you tonight, I'm going to invite you to come forward to be prayed for. I know there's some people here. I'm not going to push you. I ain't tugging. Look, you got to be receptive. You got to say, preacher, yep, I want it. You got to say, I don't care what people think about it or what they think about me. Or maybe you're in this other category too. You're that Christian who has been filled, but you're all dried up. And you need to be refilled. You see, we all need to be refilled at times too. If that's you, listen, watch it through the camera. Right where you are. You don't need anybody to lay a hand on you. The Holy Spirit can do to you what he did to my mama's friend that night. And touch you. And feel you. Listen, we're not going to tarry long. If you want it tonight, I want you to get out of your seat. And I want you to come to the front. Anna Kate, would you come and sing, honey? Come on. Everybody that wants it, anybody who's willing to be filled, tonight is your night. And we're going to pray. I'm not going to do all the hands laying on. I'm going to ask some of these other spirit-filled believers to come and lay their hands on you. Lisa, would you come up here with this young lady? I want some spirit-filled believers. Would you come with some of these women? Now listen, everybody stand up. Stand up. Autumn, would you stand up, honey? Stand up. Stand up. The Bible said that Paul explained everything to them. You've had it explained to you. He said he laid his hands on them and they were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues. It's not the person laying hands on you that's a help. It's you yielding to the Lord and say, Lord, I believe and Lord, I receive. If that's you, put your hands in the air right now. Come on. And just begin to pray, Lord, I receive. Boy, I see the Holy Ghost on you, Autumn. The power of God is on you. Lord, in the name of Jesus, fill these people, God. In the name, you got to open your mouth, honey. Open your mouth. Whatever you feel inside, you let it come out. You let it flow through you. You let, come here, Karen. Karen, come pray with her. Lay your hands on her. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray have your way tonight, Lord. Feel these people tonight, Lord. Feel people through the internet. Lord, touch them, God. Fill them up to overflowing. Oh, praise God. Lord, I'm a son of a high in the name of Jesus. Oh, yeah. Come on. Open your mouth, sister. Just let the Lord have his way. You let it come out. Just let it come out. Don't worry about what it sounds like. Just yield to the Lord. Lord, I'm a son of a high. Yes, Lord. Oh, praise God. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Come on. Yes, Lord. You are my son of a high. Yes, yeah, come on, sister. Let God have his way. You can receive it tonight. It's yours. Open yourself up tonight. If you need to be refilled, step out. If you need to be refilled, you need God to shake your house tonight. Come on. Sometimes as believers, we get dry. And we need a refilling. Let the living water fill you up tonight. Praise God. Praise the Lord. If you're hungry, it's yours. If you're thirsty, you're going to be filled. You need to tell the devil, devil, you're losing it tonight. I'm getting what God, Jesus died to give me. I'm getting it. It's mine. Praise God. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise God. We're in your presence.
Just surrender yourself to Him. Just surrender, yield yourself, give up, and let Jesus take over.
Live inside of me.
Praise God. Come on, sing it, honey. Welcome, Holy Spirit.
Welcome, Holy Spirit.
Welcome Him tonight.
We
let Him have His way tonight.
Presence.
Forget about what people think and just let Him have His way.
Fill us with Your power.
Through that camera where you are, forget about what people think. Forget about what it sounds like. Open your mouth and let the Holy Ghost have His way. What you feel down in here, let it flow out of your innermost being. He's a living water. Oh, praise God.
The never-drying fountain.
Never-drying fountain. Praise God. What a son of a behind. In the name of Jesus. Yes. Take control. Let Him have complete control.
Welcome, Holy Spirit. We are in Your presence.
You're in His presence.
Fill us with Your power.
Fill Him, Lord. Fill Him up to overflowing.
Live inside of me.
Come on, child of God, just yield yourself. Give up and let Him take over. You give up your will. You surrender your will. And let Him have His will. Fill us.
Fill us with Your power.
Don't give up, child of God. Push through. Don't give up. Push through. Push through. Push through your natural thinking. Push through the lies of the devil. Push through into the Spirit and let Him have His way.
Never drying fountain.
The comforter.
My comforter and counselor. Take complete control.
Complete control.
Never-drying fountain.
He doesn't dry up.
My
we do, but He doesn't.
Comforter and counselor.
Take
complete control. Welcome, Holy Spirit.
Praise God.
We are in your presence.
Let the wind blow. Let the wind blow, Lord.
Fill us with Your power.
Let the power fall. Fill this house tonight, Lord.
Live inside.
Those that are
me.
Thirsty, fill them up, Lord. Those that are dry, refill them, Lord.
Welcome, Holy Spirit.
We're in Your presence.
We are in Your presence.
Praise God.
Fill us with Your power. Live inside of me.
Welcome, Holy Spirit.
You're the living water. The never drying fountain.
He's the comforter.
My comforter.
Praise the Lord. She's got feeling.
Take complete.
I'll tell you, when you're hungry and you're thirsty, He'll give it to you. He'll fill you up to overflowing. Praise God. Praise God. Glory to God.
Lord, I'm a son of the
Mahal. Praise God. Let the fire fall, Lord. Let it spread through this sanctuary, Lord. Fill this house, Lord. Fill it up, Lord. Let us leave out of here changed tonight, God. Let us leave out of here full of Your Spirit tonight, Lord.
Welcome, Holy Spirit.
Praise God. Lord, I'm a son of the Most High. Glory to God.
Lord, we
the power
are
of God
in
is real.
Your presence.
It's real. There's more for you, child of God. There's more.
Live inside of me.
One more time. Welcome, Holy Spirit.
Welcome, Holy Spirit.
Oh, yeah.
We are in your presence.
Let that fire spread, Lord. Let it go from pew to pew, from person
fill
to person.
With your power.
In the name of Jesus. Fill this house, Lord.
Live inside of me.
Move through that camera, Lord, and fill people, God. Those that are hurting, that are thirsty,
and you're
fill them,
the
Lord.
Living water.
The living water.
The never dry
living water.
Fountain.
Not dried up water, living water.
My comforter and counselor. Take complete control. Welcome, Holy Spirit.
We are in your presence.
In your presence. Fill us with your power.
Boy, I can feel it moving. Boy, when he's moving, you can't deny it. It's just all according to whether we want to let him have his way. Whether or not we just want to give up and surrender. When you come to the end of your road and say, Lord, I have nothing to offer. I need everything you have to offer. Then he's able to give things to you. He's able to do things. Praise the Lord. Praise God. I seen the Spirit of God all over her when she stepped out. God wants to fill people. There's people in religion that are dried up. They need this. They need this. They're dying. They're in churches that are where they're dying, and they need this. You need this power. It's for you, child of God. Amen. Have you been blessed tonight? We're going to leave out with something good, ain't we? Now listen, we're not going to be having service this Wednesday night and Sunday night, but we'll be here Sunday morning for church. And then the next Wednesday night, resuming regular services. So you got something to go out with tonight to keep you till the next time you come back, right? You're going to make it, right? You got the Holy Ghost Comforter living inside. Look at that, Mr. Jones. Look, she don't even have her bandage on her arm tonight. I saw that when she walked through the door. I pray God heal that arm completely. Amen. In the name of Jesus. He's still a miracle worker. Praise God. We love all of you. God bless you. If you didn't get filled, when you're going home tonight, say, Lord, fill me. Maybe you'll get it before you get home, brush your teeth. Amen.
We hope you were blessed by the live service from Family Worship Center in Athens, Tennessee. Our weekly services are Sunday at 10:30 a.m., Sunday at 5:30 p.m., and Wednesday evening at 6:30 p.m. Watch us live online at www.fwc-tn.com. You can also check us out on Facebook or YouTube. Family Worship Center is located at 250 County Road 378 in Athens, Tennessee. Send all correspondence to Family Worship Center, P.O. Box 118, Athens, Tennessee, 37303. For more information, you can call the church at 423-744-0774.